last days, and I've talked to several preachers, and you know, if you look and see what's happening around this world, I believe that you'll agree, if you look through the Bible, we're really living in the last few minutes, I really do believe, before Jesus Christ comes back. But anyway, in Exodus chapter 8 and on, we'll be studying about time to move forward. Now, it's time to move forward. Get out of Egypt, and the devil don't want you to. Now, we know that Egypt represents a condition with people without Jesus Christ. Egypt is the world of sin. In the Bible, it's a world of slavery. It's the world of lust. Pharaoh represents Satan, and he has done his best to keep people in the land of darkness, in the land of slavery, in the land of gloom and doom. Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, have brought us out of Egypt and out of bondage. It says Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In these scriptures I'm fixing to read, Exodus chapter 8, verses 1, and then verse 25. And it says, that Exodus chapter 8, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord." I hope you understand this morning, it's "thus saith the Lord." It's not "thus saying I be." Many times people want to get mad at the preacher. I didn't write this book. It says, "Thus saith the Lord." Then it says, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." In verse 25 of that chapter, "And Pharaoh called for Moses when these plagues hit him, and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God," and listen to this phrase, "in the land." In the land. That means don't leave Egypt. You do all your sacrifice, you do all your worship, but stay in the land of Egypt. You see, that's what he's trying to get people to do, is stay in the land of Egypt instead of moving forward. Now, we know that old Pharaoh represents Satan. Let us go to the Lord and pray this morning and ask him to open our understanding that we may see what God would have us to see this morning in the Word of God. Father, we thank you for the great privilege we have to open up one of the greatest treasures to mankind, and that is this precious Word of God. Thank you for the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, but for the written Word of God. We just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, that you didn't just leave us in darkness, but you give us a road map, the Lord, that we might travel on, and we should be traveling, because this place we call earth is not our home. I pray that we may have an understanding here this morning for each and every person to seek out this very place they're at this morning, whether it's in Egypt, stepping out of Egypt, out into the wilderness, across Jordan River into victorious living for Jesus Christ in Canaan land. But we want to thank you and praise you for what you're doing here this day. Father, we honor you. We just thank you for the prayers that have been offered up. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that were sung, Lord, the great, beautiful that they are about our Lord and Savior Jesus and about salvation. And we thank you for every person here this day under the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's one person here today has never accepted you, we pray the day may be that great day of salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Whenever I say that Jesus Christ, or the Bible says, our Passover is our sacrifice for us, you know, the people have been here on Wednesday night, we've been studying the Passover for several weeks in the tabernacle and also the feast days in the book of the Bible. Israel, as I said, now represents the people. Everybody, this represents the people of Israel now. Where are you? I hope God will show you exactly where you at, because he wants you to be out of Egypt. Where are you today? As I mentioned, it's either in Egypt, you're coming out of Egypt, you cross the Red Sea, you wandered around in the wilderness, are you crossing the Jordan River? Are you in Canaan land? You're somewhere, and it's going to describe this for you, but of course we will not get that far this hour. But I'd like for you to understand this. Now the Lord sent 10 plagues to that nation of Egypt. Those 10 plagues were against the 10 great powerful gods of Egypt. And what we study here this morning and what I just read to you in Exodus chapter 8 is the second plague that God sent to the nation of Egypt to let my people go. You remember the first one was whenever God turned all the water into blood. There was blood everywhere. Man, I mean, they didn't have no drinking water except blood. Man, they got thirsty in a hurry, and old Pharaoh sent for Moses, said, come, we're going to do what you said. We're going to repent, let your people go. But just as soon as God turned the blood back into water they might drink, all that was over with. Then here comes another plague. The plague now is called the plague of frogs. Frogs everywhere. And this is about chapter 10 where it all starts out at, that he said, okay, I'm tired of frogs. I want you to let my people go. And Moses said, well, I'll talk to God. And he said, okay, all right, if you let them go, I'll remove the frogs. And he did. Now, here is a spiritual truth when God says, let my people go. Now, today in the country that you and I are living in, the old devil is going to try his best to keep you from coming out of Egypt. Just like old Pharaoh tried to keep those people from going out of Egypt. He represents the devil today and trying his best to keep people from coming out of Egypt. And he's doing a very, very good job of keeping people coming out of Egypt. Now, the way old Satan tries to do that to keep people from coming out, you see, because he don't want you to come all the way out of Egypt. Now, he said, you know, you go up to the edge if you want to, Moses and your people, but don't go all the way out. So if you just come to serve God a little bit, you may come down this aisle and, you know, and you accept Jesus Christ, or you may be baptized and be a member of the church, but don't go all the way. Don't make that dedication to serve Jesus and worship Jesus Christ in the local church. You just stay in Egypt. You can be just as religious as you want to, but don't go all the way. Now, the devil's done a real good job, I'm going to tell you, about keeping people from going all the way and having the commitment that God intends for you to have upon your life. This is your life. Today, you know, the church has done a good job of helping this out because they use the terminology from computers. Most people know about computers. I don't, but I heard the word user-friendly. Now, there's no computer is friendly to me. I don't know about Brother Marshall, but he does a real good job. But there's no computer that's friendly to me. They're not user-friendly to me. But we have used that terminology today to have churches that's user-friendly. And then in the line of the grocery and the food that we eat, you go in the grocery store, and there'd be aisles after aisles, and there'd be a title there, Light, L-I-T-E. Light syrup. Who wants light syrup? It's everything is light. It's supposed to be good for you. I like the heavy stuff myself. But everything is light. We have used that terminology, user-friendly and light, both of them in churches today, from pulpits and our Baptist churches also, to dumb down the message, to lighten up on the requirements, to gain more people in our church services. If we can just get the numbers, God is not interested in numbers, but he is interested in numbers. Across the United States today, there's an attempt in our churches to appeal and to water down the gospel. I guess you may know that. But there's a new light, L-I-T-E. The new light gospel. What it does is eliminate repentance. It eliminates conviction. It eliminates conversion. It eliminates commitment. You have a light gospel, which is no gospel at all. It allows sinners to show no intentions of submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. feel-good experience is what they're after today. The LITE gospel will never replace the gospel light. Calls to turn from the LITE back to the light, LIGHT. Because a light gospel today is preached across this nation and across a lot of Baptist pulpits today. It is a cross without blood. In other words, you can be saved without the blood. But then we find out it is a salvation without the Lord, called social salvation. A hell without reality. That people don't believe in hell. They believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. That's a light gospel. But not only that, you have people without wholeness. God says, without wholeness, you will not see God. Are you holy this morning? That means, are you justified before God this morning? It don't mean that you're good. It just means that you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and He passed on His righteousness to you, and you're holy because Jesus Christ is holy. And then we know what we find out. We have, you know, a Bible without trust. That's the reason they're coming out with all types of translations to muddy up the water of the true Word of God. But we have churches without compassion to give and to help the people that's needy. But then we have a worship without the Holy Spirit of God, which is no worship at all. We have church memberships without conversion. And then that brings us to the society that we're living in without conscience. And you just look around our country today and you'll see murder and killing of all type in our world today. So we have a light gospel. We want to stay as close to Egypt as we can. The devil do not want you to move out. He wants you to stay as close as you can. And he has a distinction concerning salvation, separation, soul winning, and tithing to keep you from moving forward. Just like old Pharaoh did, Satan is doing the same thing to you and I, every one of us today. Egypt represents the land of sin and death and doom. This is the unsaved people, Pleasant Hill. God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, okay, go out and sacrifice, but you stay in the land. We have a lot of Christians that's doing that today. They're staying just as close to Egypt as they can. They don't want to come all the way out. Stay in very close. Moses says, no, we're going all the way out. That's the reason Jesus Christ said, I come to save you from your sin. A lot of people think that Jesus Christ has saved them in their sin. That means that you can be a homosexual and still be saved. No, I come to save you out of your sin, from your sin. To come all the way out of Egypt. And that's what we need to understand today. Moses said, we're going all the way out. God wants us to forsake the land of Egypt. Pharaoh says, all right. He says, if you want to be religious, you go ahead and be religious, but you do it right here in Egypt. Now, Egypt was a very, very religious place. Had many gods, as I've said. You know, today, people's trying to worship God without coming out of Egypt. They'll say, we do not need a church. We got a lot of members of this church saying we do not need the church. We will be religious in our Egypt if we want to. I can worship God just as good at home as I can here with the fellowship of God, which is not truth. That is against the Word of God. But you see today, Pharaoh says, all right, be religious all you want to in your life. Tack a little bit of religion onto your life. I'll bring this up several times. Old TV Guide. Everybody used to like to read the TV Guide. There's a lot of articles in that. Every TV Guide always had a chapter on religion. But you see, when you turn to that chapter of religion and you read that chapter of religion, the rest of the chapters of this 30 or 40 chapter, no matter how many it was, the religion of that chapter did not meditate and go through the rest of that book. It was just one little chapter. You just read that chapter. The devil is telling you, just like Pharaoh told him, you go ahead and be religious. Tack on a little religion. Have one chapter in your life, like one time on Sunday, maybe. Have one little chapter. 30 minutes. Hour at the most. Tack that on to your religion. But don't let that intertwine with the rest of your life in the 7 days. This day is just the one day of the 7 days that God intends for us to worship Him. And it's not just here in the church He's talking about. It's every day is for the Lord. Devil don't want you to have a clear break with Egypt. He wants you to stay as close as you can. It was a very educated system they had. Get education. Well, that's the thing today. Get religious. Stay in Egypt. Old Pharaoh says, stay in bondage. You see, the United States today is a very, very religious country. Did y'all know that? But we need to turn from our religion to Jesus Christ. That's where the problem comes in. Pharaoh says, stay in Egypt. If you must be religious, I'll let you be religious, but just don't go out of Egypt. Egypt symbolizes you being set free when you leave Egypt. Stay here. Christianity today is not a religion. It is a relationship with the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had the great privilege of going to the Grand Canyon. That's a great, great valley, but one side of that thing to the other, and I could just see someone on the other side trying to build a bridge across the Grand Canyon. It won't work. God sees a great Grand Canyon and the lives of people that's lost, and they're trying to build bridges to get to Him with all type of man-made bridges across the Grand Canyon, and it won't work. But Jesus Christ, He said, I'll send My Son and I'll build that bridge for you. And when that bridge is finished, you can come to Me with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary said, it's finished. It's finished now. You can come. You can come to Jesus Christ this morning if you want to, because Jesus Christ finished that bridge. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12 said, neither is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Church members, a lot of them I believe has never come out of Egypt. They've never been born again. They're still under old Pharaoh. So to start with, we see this distraction concerning salvation. He do not want you to come all the way out. But then we have a distraction concerning separation. If you must go, there must be a distraction now concerning our separation. Let My people go. Moses, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to let this distraction concerning salvation. And I'm not going to have this distraction concerning separation either. It says in Exodus chapter 8, verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice in the land of your God in the wilderness. You can go out of Egypt, and only you shall not go very far. Now you can go out of the land of Egypt. Now listen to what he said. Now, but you don't go very far. Now this is what Satan is telling Christians that are sitting here today. It's all right to be saved. It's all right to accept Jesus, but don't you go very far in it. Don't you get committed to Jesus Christ. Because if you do, you start showing up more. And you start giving more of your life to Jesus Christ. And the devil don't want you to do that. Not that total commitment. No siree. You go out. You go ahead if you must. But you just don't go very far. But you see this morning, if you want to be saved, there are not enough of demons in hell to keep you from being saved if you want to be saved this morning. If you must go down the aisle, if you must confess Jesus Christ like this morning or whenever you want to, if you're going to accept Jesus Christ, don't go very far. And there are a lot of people have done just exactly that. They've come down, they accepted Jesus Christ, they've been baptized, put on a church membership, but they hadn't went very far in their salvation. Don't you dare get committed. Remember again, this is not what I'm saying. It's what God's saying. Don't get mad at me. But now Satan, now he says, now if you must go and if you must accept Jesus Christ, and you know they're going to want you to join a church, Satan says, let me suggest some churches for you to join. The first, you need to find a church that will not preach against social drinking. Baptist churches, a lot of them. Let me suggest that you go to a church where they won't preach against lottery, playing lottery, which a lot of Baptist churches won't, a lot of preachers. Well, go find you one that won't say anything about abortion. And there's plenty of Baptist churches and pastors that won't. How about homosexuality? Oh, no, they won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Drugs. Only go to one, maybe they just meet on Sunday morning. Satan said, let me suggest one to you. They only meet on Sunday morning. No Sunday school, no Wednesday night, no Sunday night. No commitment. You be in good standard. Let me offer you that. You see, today there are supply and demand churches like everything else. Supply and demand. Whatever type a church people demands, you're going to get a preacher that calls himself a preacher to supply that type of demand for people. That's the reason a lot of churches are filling up, Mr. TV, on television. I need to say more. You see, churches, you need to check them out. Now, it says in Jeremiah 23:1, woe be unto the pastor that destroy and scatters the sheep of my pastors. Now, you better be careful, preachers. Satan says, let me recommend you one, and you'll find that. And the reason their churches are springing up in Jessup, Blackshear, Waycross, user-friendly, one time, you're committed. Just one time. Supply and demand. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Distinction concerning separation. If you was arrested for being a Christian, will there be enough evidence to convict you, as the old saying says? Many Christians will come out, but they will die in the wilderness. They will never reach their full potential, just like the nation of Israel did. Did y'all know that all of them come out of Egypt? All of them died but two in the wilderness, above 20 years old and older. Every one of them come out of Egypt. From 20 years old and older, all of them died but Joshua and Caleb, because they brought back a good report. Moses says, we will not distinguish but concerning salvation, separation, or soul winning. All right? Exodus 10:8-11. Plagues keeps coming in. And Moses and Aaron, it says, again brought come to Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, and with our sons, with our daughter, with our flock, and with our herds, we will go. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before me. And then old Pharaoh says, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that he did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. All right, Moses said, we're going to take every one of us out. All of our herds, our family, everything is going to go out. And old devil says, not so now. You men, if y'all want to go and worship, but don't take your family. Don't take your family. That's what old Pharaoh said. Because he represents the devil, and the devil hates family worship. Yeah. He hates it. Family worship. Now, it's all right. A lot of people today now, you see, they'll come and they'll drop kids off, not say anything wrong with it. Sometimes they have to. A lot of times they won't even come and bring the kids. Remember, I'm not talking to you. God is. Family worship. You see, now, we have a lot of things that a family does. This past week, I think there was a ball game, this school ball game. I think it was Friday night. I don't know. Did you know I could assure you one thing? I guarantee you there was a whole family involved in that ball game. I ain't saying nothing about ball because, you know, there's nothing wrong with ball in itself. I bet you the whole family, grandpas and grandmas and great-grandpas and their mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, everybody was there at the ball game. Boy, get the whole family involved. What boy, he can run, can't he? Boy, our whole family, woo-hoo, woo-hoo, the whole family gets involved in a ball game. Where's the families at this morning? Where's the families at when it comes to church service and worship? You know why they're not here? Because Satan hates family worship. I'll tell you, when your kids get sick, pray to your ball game. You got some trophies on the shelf that your sons, your daughters has won for a ball or some type of sports. When you really get needing God badly, like, oh God, get those trophies down and start praying to those idols that's sitting on the mantle. And they won without being in the house of God. Family worship. Soul winning for your family salvation. There's people do anything they can to make sure their family is at a ball game. And they won't even come and bring those kids on Wednesday night where they can learn the love of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about anyone. Household, let them stay in Egypt. And a lot of people is letting do exactly that. They're still in Egypt. Are you concerned about your young kids, your family, grandkids going to heaven, family worship? You see, God believes in family worship. Did y'all know that? He demands it. You remember Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31? And brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And then we find out, oh, Noah. Noah said unto the Lord. The Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation." And then we see, oh, Joshua in 24:15. "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the land which you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." It's about time to have some fathers and mothers to stand on the word of God and say just exactly that. You know, God loves us just exactly like you are. Don't try to change. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He loves you too much to leave you like you are. Sad. Well, Marshall been in the book of Acts. Oh, Cornelius, I think he done talked about them and Peter. Acts chapter 11, 13 and 14. "And he showed us how he had seen the angel in this house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be." Are you interested in your grandkids and your kids being saved? Are you? It's a sad thing to know that some of the kids are left back in Egypt and mothers and fathers are not concerned about them. No time for God, no time for the worship of God in a lot of people's homes today. Mother and father today, are you going to go all the way out? You know, it's about time that you say, you know, we're going all the way out and we're taking our family with us. You ought to make that commitment today. You see, and then the fourth distraction is concerning tithing. Oh, I wish you wouldn't preach on that. Well, I'm not. The Lord is. Concerning tithing. You remember the devil and Pharaoh, they represent one another? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 24, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, after the plagues keep on coming, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flock and your herds stay, let your little ones also go with you. Okay, if you must go, your men and your women and your children, they may go. You see, he'll keep on sending distractions, but don't care your flock. Let your flock and herd stay. Today, what does that represent? That represents your business and your money and your finances. If you must go, if you must accept Jesus Christ, if you must join that church, if you must be baptized, you do all that you want to, and care your kids. But don't let your pocketbook get wet when you're baptized. That's what it means. Don't let your pocketbook get wet when you're baptized. Because the devil knows if he can cripple the church by not giving, that's what he wants to do, and cripple God's work. Leave your money in Egypt. Now, the mark and signs of a mature Christian in the Lord is his dedication to everything he has to Jesus Christ. Now, there's some reason that Christians ought to tithe. All right, to start with, it's obedience. It's obedience. Malachi 3 and 10 says, bring all the tithe to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing there is not be room enough to receive. Now that's God said, I'll challenge you, and you give me a test if you want to. You try me. You try me. Remember, I'm not saying this. God is. He's the one that told us that. Leave all your money in Egypt. Leave your herbs there and everything in Egypt. Go out and worship the Lord, but you do it empty-handed. You do not take it with you. You serve the Lord, but you do not let your pocketbook get wet. Leave your money in Egypt. Now, you see, to start with, there's obedience. As I read Malachi. And then that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you know what it says? 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Who's he talking to, I wonder? Every one of you. Lay by him in store. Same thing, that word in store. Same thing for storehouse in Malachi. As God has prospered him. That God's give you. That there may be no gathering when I come. You see, God has given us so much. And God has said, you know what? You just give if I was prospered. Do you have anything that God has given you? That's just obedience. You see, God owns you. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. So therefore, God can command you. Now, God do not command a lost person to tithe. It's his children. It's his people. He owns you. He bought you with the price of his precious blood. He commands you, but be obedient. Jesus Christ says that, to be obedient. And then be honest. The tithe is not yours. The tithe is not yours. When we don't tithe as a Christian, what are we doing? We're stealing from God. Preacher, I don't like that. Well, I didn't say it. He did. Leviticus chapter 27, 30 and 32. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. And concerning the tithes of the herbs and the flocks, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And then Psalm said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand here. You know what God said? I own it all. You don't own nothing. How much will you have 100 years from now? What will you own 100 years from now? God says, what do you have that I hadn't give you? You say, well, I got a right because I worked, I done this and I done that. God give you the health, the strength, and ability to have what you got this day. You know, Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Now, God is asking this question to the nation of Israel. As he's asking you, will a man rob God? God says, yes, you will. If you don't tithe, he said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You know, it's hard to think about a person robbing God. You see, we passed these collection plate here a few minutes ago. Now, if it got back somewhere or another and you've seen someone just reach their hand into that collection plate and got them a handful of money and put it in their pocket, did you know why that would make you plumb mad? That'd be the most disgraceful thing that you could ever think of, would it not? Wouldn't it do your head like this if it would upset you? Now, let me ask you another question. How about when that plate was passed and you didn't tithe? It's not my word. This is not my preaching, because I don't like to have to say it. I just want to tell you what God says about tithing. It's obedience, it's honesty, and also it's love. John 14:15 said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. Did you know I don't have much material things in this life? I got a whole lot more than a lot of people. Do you know what little bit I have? You know, I don't mind buying things for my wife, and I certainly don't mind buying things for my children. I certainly don't mind giving things to my grandchildren. I love it. I really do love it. Why do I love to give them money or anything else? You know why? I love them. It just blesses my heart to give to my family. Just to give to them. The greatest delight that you ever have is giving to ones you love. Is that right? No matter whether it's little or small, but it's giving to those that you love so much. Your kids, your grandkids, most especially those little grandkids. Don't you like to give to your grandkids and your children? Don't you love to do that? I'm telling you. A person that don't want to tithe has a problem with loving Jesus. They have a problem of loving Jesus. And then we have gratitude. Psalm 116:12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? What could I give back to the Lord for everything he's given? I want you to think about that for just a moment. What could you give the Lord for all the benefits he's gave to you? You've got time to meditate back on your life and right now, and so everything that God has given you, the health that you have, the blessings, the great family. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing on me, that song sing. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I got food on my table, shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, roof over my head, and a fine family. What can you give God in return for those blessings? What could you give for that gratitude? You know, there's so many people like a sponge. They just soak up and they soak up and they soak up and they soak up, and they don't never give out until they're squeezed. Let me tell you one thing. If you're a child of God, you're going to be squeezed. Every sermon that me and Brother Marshall prepares is for every member of this church. You say, yeah, but about half of them, two-thirds or more of that's not even here. Don't make no difference as far as that, because they're going to hear the sermon that I'm preaching right now, whether they hear it or not, because God is going to speak to them in a way that sponge is going to be squeezed. through the situation and circumstances in their life. My word will not come back to me void. It will accomplish what I sent it out to do. God sending his word out this morning from this pulpit. People's not here. They're going to understand this word, but they're going to be squeezed. They're going to be squeezed. Will God do that? He loves you too much to leave you like you are. And God knows just exactly how much pressure to put on you and to put on me. And then faith. Malachi says, you know what? Prove me and test me. Just open up the windows. I won't pour you out more than you can receive. Luke chapter 6 and 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Runneth over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure, withal it shall be measured to you again. Whatever you give, I'm going to tell you, God to give you back fourfolds. And I'm not just talking about tithing and money either. Because there's more than just money is involved in your tithing. But he'll give you back fourfolds. I'm going to tell you, it pays to serve the Lord, and it pays all the way to serve the Lord. Wednesday night, you know, it's a time that we come out and we worship and pray. We hope more people will come, but I tell you, Proverbs 3 and 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with the substance, with all the first fruit of all their increase. And 3 and 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall be busted over with new wine. The reason I said on Wednesday night, because we've been studying this on Wednesday night. What God has given us, what God has given this country, and what we're giving back to God. As people, as a church, as a nation, what are you giving back to God? When they wanted enough of people hardly come to turn the air conditioning on. User friendly. The light gospel. People. It says, one of my favorite verses is Matthew chapter 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. People said, man, I got to make a living. No, you ain't. You got to make a life. And that life is through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He said, you make a life with Jesus Christ. He said, I'll take care of what you think you got to have. And he'll fulfill all the needs that you have. I've never had a need that God did not fill. Have you? I had a lot of wants. I'm glad God didn't give me everything I wanted. Are you? I'm telling you, we need to come all the way out. I'm going to tell you about time to make a decision. You need to come all the way out of Egypt. You need to bring your family with you. You need to start this morning. Exodus chapter 10 and 26. Our cattle also shall go with us, Moses said. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. He says, we're going to take everything out. We're going to take our family out. We're going to take our children out. We're going to take our herds out. We're going to take our cattle out. They won't even be a hoof left in Egypt. Now, buddy, that's of the God, and he's calling on you to make a decision, to make a commitment right now to your Jesus Christ and your Savior today. Do you want to come out of Egypt and be saved? If you're not saved, if you're here this morning and you haven't been worshiping, serving Jesus Christ, and your commitment's not what you know that God wants it to be, you need to make that commitment today that I'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ with obedience, with honesty, with love and gratitude and faith, just as he's calling you to do. Do you want to do that this morning? One thing about what preachers does, they call for you to make a commitment. And you know what? That's what God's doing. He's calling for you to make a commitment. The devil, just like old Freo, don't want you to do what you know in your heart you need to do, no matter where you saved or lost. If you lost, you need to accept Jesus Christ. It may be for church membership. It may be for baptism. It may be for tithing. I don't know how God has spoke to you, and I'm glad I don't. I know how God speaks to me. You just do what God has told you to do, and you just come all the way out. You don't leave a hoof in Egypt. You come this morning and serve the Lord like he wants you to serve. It's time for a commitment. It's time for a song. It's time for the invitation to come. It's time for you to do what God has spoke to your heart all this while I've been preaching, that God's been talking to you, talking to you, and talking to you, and talking to you. As we come with this song of invitation, it's time for you to answer. You can either answer yes, or you can answer no. You can stay in Egypt. I tell you, you can just stay right where you at. But if you want to come out, you can come out. There's not enough of demons or the power of Satan to keep you if you want to. It's all your choice today. We're fixing to stand and sing this song, brother.